What up, Love Quest Nation? You are listening to the latest episode of our 5 p.m. Sunday experience, recorded live at our location in Vancouver, BC. So come on in and enjoy a powerful right now word brought to you by our founding and lead pastor, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy.
Father God, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the spirit of liberty. We thank you for Jehovah Bel-Perazim, the Lord of the breakthrough being in this place. And we thank you for the leaping that is happening in people's hearts. Thank you for the shock value that is in this place that is resuscitating people with life. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Amen. Let me, I got to make up a lot of time, but amen. We started this morning with a topic dealing with the power of your pant, the power of your pant, the power of your pant. Panting has power in it when it's pertaining to us. There is a hunger and thirst that is required for the believer, and I think we're in a time where all of us, we're hungry and thirsty for a lot of stuff, and God is, everybody says they want more God. But what are you doing? Are you going after God like you're going after career? Are you believing God for more faith like you're believing God for a spouse? Right? Are you hoping in the King of Glory like you're hoping in the government to hurry up and change things? Right? It don't matter what the government does. There's a greater government. He said, the government shall be upon his shoulders. So when you understand that, the government has to be proven to fail. The government of this world was not meant to make you comfortable, and it wasn't meant to help you per se. The government of this world was not meant to bring you peace. And when you understand that, as the world gets worse, you won't lose your mind. Oh, I'm very clear when I say the world gets worse. But whatever, there's a body of believers standing, releasing glory, whether you own your job, whether it be your family, whether it be your friends, whether it be this city, do you know God will preserve a city because he preserved a man? He is looking for a people to preserve, to stand on behalf. Abraham said, God, if we could just find 30 people, 30 righteous, will you preserve them? He says, yes. All God need is one. Say one. All he need is one. One church, one people, one leader, one person. And that one may be you for your family. I know I'm the interruption in my bloodline. I don't know about you. But things for sure will be different moving forward in the Richmond bloodline. No, the addiction that dad dealt with, broken right now. Alcoholism, broken right now. Foul mouth, broken. Divorce, broken. No, my kids will know what it looks like to have both parents in the house. Broken. Man, maybe you are living in this time to restore your bloodline. Maybe you're not going to see everything you dream, but you're going to turn the bloodline around. Maybe you didn't have a dad, but your son is going to see a father. He's going to see what it looks like to be a mighty man of God. He's going to see what it looks like to be a husband. See, to be a husband. I didn't grow up doing that. So I have to figure it out by way of Holy Spirit and mentors. But my son get Holy Spirit, he get mentors, and he got daddy in the house. There's so much joy in 2020. If you are a believer and you have written off 2020, repent. The Lord has not changed his mind about 2020. I don't know about you, but we have seen great fruit in 2020. See, you got to identify what fruitfulness is to you. We've baptized tons of people in the pandemic. We have seen people make up their minds to stay with their spouse. We have seen people receive peace after years of anxiety. We've seen marriages preserved. We've seen people come to Jesus by the droves. People keep giving. The church doors are still open. It has been a fruitful time. We've seen people get raises and new jobs, new cars, sell their house for asking price. We have seen God move in a mighty way. Pandemic can't stop God's promise. You're going crazy. There's two news reports. Which one do you believe? Matthew 5 says you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. And what did I tell you this morning? Just like that junk food that spoils your appetite, the enemy is always trying to give you some junk food throughout the week. So then you get to Sunday, you can't even praise God because you've been eating junk food spiritually all week long. And you wonder why, and then you make the excuse, that's just not my culture. That's just not me. No, boo-boo, nuh-uh. All week you've been feeding your spirit junk. You can't listen to little ooh-ooh all week and then come here and think you're going to tap into the Holy Ghost. You're going to look at us like we crazy. No wonder people that celebrate God outwardly, we demonize it. No, man, everywhere I read in the Bible, it tells us how it's supposed to look to be saved. Clap, dance, joyful noise, rejoice, rejoice. Shout with a voice of what? Triumph. Amen. We shifting that motive, we shifting that in this city. Amen. I don't want to just be loud, though. I want to be loud intentionally. Because that's frustrating. I ain't just going to be shouting down heaven and don't be fruitful. I ain't just going to be shouting down heaven and can't stay faithful to my wife. No, 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 no. I'm shouting for a reason. I ain't going to be shouting and then be depressed. Mm-mm. I'm shouting so I can have peace. I'm shouting because he's good. I'm shouting my way through the valley and the shadow of death. God is good. Man, I ain't shouting for no reason. Shouting for no show. We're shouting because we truly have joy. And we have the revelation that God, man, God is really alive. And it says, how enriched you are when you crave righteousness, for you will be surrounded with what? Fruitfulness. One translation says, he who is hungry and thirsty for righteousness shall be what? Filled. You shall be filled. You shall be what? Filled. To crave is to feel a powerful desire for something. To feel a powerful desire for something. The old English, crepion. Grand Poupon, Graffion, boom, means to demand or claim as a right. You see, I'm not just crazy like, God, please, revival. We crave for your presence. First of all, you're praying wrong. He lives in you. Come, Holy Spirit. He like, hello. Hello, I'm right here. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Where he been all week? Right, he here, ain't he? He said you looking to the left, to the right, to the south, to the east, to the windows, to the walls. And he said, no, 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 I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm living right here. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And that's why you got to understand that. While you're sitting there spending 30 minutes asking for him to come, he is saying, let me out. He say, just stop with that childish praise, with that false humility praise, and release the glory that is within you. To demand. So when I'm craving, I'm making a demand. I'm putting a demand on heaven with my. The woman with the issue of blood was craving wholeness to such a way it pulled virtue from Jesus. It placed a demand on his anointing. To crave is to imply that once you get the fix, you will be satisfied. What are you craving? What is it last week or a few days ago that you really, really wanted and you thought when you got it, it was going to fix something? Like that, like them donuts. Like, oh my God, I got a sweet tooth. Now you got a sour belly. Like, right, we think we get that career. We think we get that certain amount of money, and it's going to bring us joy. We think if we get that spouse, it's going. See, you're craving for something, and you notice when you get it, everything you get has a honeymoon period. Look, you're going to get tired of your spouse. Didn't say you're going to fall out of love, but you're going to get tired of your spouse sometime. Come on. I'm going to ask some of y'all married people, don't you want some time to yourself sometime? Right? See, the elders, they keep it real. They told each other they need some space. So they, this young generation think they got a lot of, yeah, baby, I love being around you 24/7, 365. Stop lying. You don't want to be around nobody 365, 24/7. Oh, my God. Somebody not going to call you back. That job you did have going to close down. Something going to run out that you really was hoping for. Amazon Prime going to take too long. All this stuff we put our hope in, and we sitting there waiting. We looking at our phone. We waiting for the government to release the next document, the next update. Let me update you. The Lord is in control. The Lord is moving. The Lord is still on the throne. Let me update you. His blood still works. Let me update you. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Let me update you and let me upgrade you. He will do it. Sitting around waiting for somebody to bring you pleasure. If they can give it to you, they could take it away. That's why when you break up with somebody, you think you done lost your life. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm not saying it don't hurt. But life is not over. Maybe it just begun. Yeah, Abraham could see God clearly when Lot got out the situation. And then because he removed Lot out the situation, and then he was able to have some time with God, then he was able to go save Lot, too. And maybe the people you're trying to cling to, the Lord is trying to separate you for greater good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. If God isn't the source of your fix, you will never be satisfied. That's why we're around here. We say what? Get your love fix, man. And that's what everybody looking for is a love fix. I used to think a drug fix, an alcohol fix, a sex fix. Some of y'all think porn fix. Some of y'all think all kind of fixes. Job fix, career fix, DIY fix, buy resale fix, cook fix, eat fix. Everything is a fix except you are driving all around agape. All around agape. You avoiding the agape avenue. And that's what the woman with issue of blood did. And then one day she was like, all right. She was panting. She was hungry. And she said, this is my last shot. I heard about a man. And I don't know who you are in here. The Lord don't mind you having all the other stuff. But none of that can fulfill you in the long run. See, you're going to get an age one day where some of the stuff you crazy about right now ain't going to even matter. We say them curves. See, you don't get married because you got curves. Curves what? Swerve. Yeah, you marry somebody because they had a nice body. Let me tell you, them curves is gone. That tattoo is gone. You be careful what kind of tattoo you get. See, whenever you go get your next tattoo, ask them to show you how it look sagging. Then... right? You got to think ahead. Maybe it looks, you got to get a tattoo that ages well. Mickey Mouse ain't going to look cool when you 80 years old. Amen. To pant is to cry for revival. It's to cry for revival. Psalm 42 says this, I long to drink of you. Oh God, drinking deeply. It's time for you to go deeper than the surface. I used to have a surface relationship with God. right? Oh, I got my devotion in today, my devotion. You see that devotion by my favorite evangelist? Oh, my God. And then you share your devotion, and then pressure come. You're like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? See, your devotion didn't speak to your problem. Your devotion just helped you punch in. I tell people, if you're starting to read the Bible, please don't start at Genesis. Don't try to be, oh, I'm on this annual Bible plan. I'm going to read the Bible this year. That's one of my biggest goals as a Christian, is to read the whole Bible in 1 year. No, read what you need today. He said, this day, our daily bread. And if you get a chance to read the whole Bible, read the whole Bible. But I'm telling you, you need daily bread. You need what God is saying to you in your situation today. From the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. Flowing from your presence. As the heart pants and longs for the water brooks, so I pant and long for you. He said, just as the deer pants, I long for you. The way the deer pants, I what? Pants. The way the deer pant, we read earlier about the deer. The deer always is looking for a place of rest to drink up. It will not expose its neck if it senses danger. And that's why you can't worship and flirt with sin. It's very dangerous because the enemy roars like a what? Lion that's looking for that neck exposed. You don't play church. See, because every time you lift your hands, guess what you're telling Satan? Here I am, Christian, come and get me. And then you got a target on your back. And you got to stand. If you're going to draw all that Christian attention to yourself, you better learn how to fight. You better learn how to pray. Pastor going to disappoint you a whole lot. He not going to answer the phone all the time. First of all, you shouldn't have his phone number, but somehow you got it. Elders ain't gonna be able to meet you all the time. They're not gonna be able to meet you, but you better know what? The Lord can meet you at any time. He never sleeps nor slumbers. I don't need a confession booth. I need God. He lives within me. That's Bible. He tore the what? Veil. When you pant, God will establish you. He desires to fulfill you. Ephesians 3 says, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his what? Glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the where? Inner man, where the craving happens, where the panting is. He desires to infuse you in your inner man with power, with himself, via Holy Spirit. Your innermost being and what? Personality should reflect the glory of the Lord. When you pant, God will what? Plant. He will plant. He will establish you. He will establish. Man, have you ever been a waverer? Have you ever wavered in your life? I have. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm the only sinner in the building. But I'm wavering. I'm hot. And I'm not. I want to go to church, then I don't. I want to go to this church. I want to go to that church. I want this boyfriend. I want these friends. I believe today. Oh, no. I'm Christian one day, then I'm son and daughter. I don't know. And that's why he gave the fivefold ministry gifts, to establish until they come into the unity of the faith, until they stop what? Wavering. I want to be a church that helps people get rooted in Jesus, not get rooted in our programs. See, training you how to be a great leader is not the same as training you to be a great disciple. See, a lot of times we will develop you to run church. But when you get out in the marketplace, you don't know how to run your life according to the kingdom. You know how to pray to open a service, but you don't know how to intercede through a storm. When you pant, God will what? Plant you. This is good right here. You ready? It was good to me. It was good to me. You're not threatened by the fire when you're planted by the river. Why do you think God said, I will plant you by streams? I will plant you by living water. So when the fire comes, you're rooted in water. You're rooted in soil. The fire can't touch you when you're rooted by the river. That's why we come alive in the what? River. Don't do it. Don't do it, man. Stop. Psalm 1. Not all together, though. Not all together. What delight comes to the one who follows God's ways? He won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's ways, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His pleasure and passion, his yearning, his craving is in the word of God, meditating what? Day and night in the true revelation of light. He will or she will be standing firm like a flourishing what? Tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit. Look, this is my favorite part. In what? Every season. I don't know who I'm talking to, but don't you believe the hype that there are seasons you're supposed to not prosper. Even when you're going through, you are meant to what? Prosper, but you only prosper in every season because you're planted by the river. So it doesn't matter if the storm comes. It doesn't matter if the fire comes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God is with me. I am rooted in my Father's house. I am rooted in my Savior. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. Say every season. Not going to let the devil talk me out of one season. Every season of my life moving forward, something's popping off. I don't care if it's a tiny bit, I don't care if it's, but every season of my life, I should be producing something. And not only every season, but I should never be what? Dry. You ain't gonna never catch me dry. Christian dry, pork skins, no dry, overcooked steak, no dry, never dry, beef jerky Christian, no dry. Dry as that wafer we took tonight, no dry. Like I told you last night, the glory make you slippery. So when the enemy can't grip you no more, insecurity can't grip you no more, fear can't grip you no more, God is good. Never dry. Never fainting. Oh, we serving too much. Oh, my God, Pastor. I pray some more. I pray some of y'all been praying for more volunteers for a long time. God, please send the harvest. No, but you can't just make the harvest serve right away. See, we don't care about how talented you are here. We need to make sure you're here for the right reasons, number one, and make sure that you're dependent on God, not your position. So we're not just, oh, we need people to serve. No, we're going to pour into our leaders so they grow capacity and have the ability to wait for God to send the right people. We're not just trying to build no pop-up church. We're trying to build something that's going to be here when we dead and gone. And that takes some time. As high as we going to go, guess what? We got to get low. Yes. So never fainting, never fainting, never fainting, never fainting, and ever bless. Ever bless. You take the four off of forever, that's a long time. Ever bless. Ever blessed and ever what? Prosperous. That's his plans for you. Oh, Jesus. The message says, how well God must like you. Say, he likes me. Yeah, he don't just love you. He like you. He like you. See, have you ever, you like, oh, my God, why we got to worship someone? Why we got to dwell in a secret place? Have you ever thought about why God want to hang out with your little arrogant self? Why is he asking to hang out with you? It's a privilege. He wants to hang out with you. I ain't got no time. But he had time to hang on the cross. You ain't got no time to not be in his presence. It's a privilege. He sings over you, the word of God says. Oh, my God. He wants to hang out with you. He likes you. He don't just love you. He like you. When somebody takes that much intricate detail to make you, he likes you. You ever see that not just grandmamas, just people. You see people knitting? That take a long time. Knitting. You see, knitting. That take a long time. But that's what the order said. He knitted you. He just took time. God is not in a rush to knit your plans together. He's you in a rush. You're like, God, just give me a fake Gucci. Just give me a fake Gucci. Don't be trying to, I don't need no real one. Just give me fake promise, God. Just give me some manna. Just give me a little taste of the promise, but I don't need all that, God. I need it. I need something right now. Instead of saving money for the real Gucci, you just going to buy the one out the salon, the beauty salon. You're a tree planted, replanted in Eden. Let me move on. I got to skip. If you want to listen to the other stuff, that was a long recap. But it was good, though. It was good. John 4. Wearied by his long journey, he sat on the edge of Jacob's what? Well. What's in a well? Amen. We hope. We think. Depending on where you at. He sent his disciples into the village to buy what? Food. So Jesus thirsty, they hungry. For it was already afternoon. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." Surprised, she said, "Why would a Jewish man," I don't know if she sounded like that, but whatever, "ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water?" Right? It wasn't a time. He should not have been caught with her, okay? Jesus replied, y'all ready for this? "If you only knew who I am and the gift that God wants to give you, you'd ask me for a drink instead of your job." Ooh, this is what made me a better husband. When I stopped looking at my wife to fix me. Even my mama can't fix me the way Jesus can. You can only mama your child for so long. You can only do so much. We run out of the capacity to fulfill the depths of man's souls that is really yearning for something greater. You'd ask me for a drink, and I would give to you, look, what? Living water. So the same thing that the well was to the woman with the issue, not the woman with the issue, but the woman, the Samaritan woman, is the same way the things that we depend on in life is. We'll see this conversation. The woman replied, "But sir, you don't even have a bucket. And this well is very deep. So where do you find this living water?" It sounds like this conversation with God is challenging you to step out into the deep of the sea and not depend on your job. Or for some people, God's asked you to leave your job. For some people, God has asked you to leave certain things. And you're like, "But how am I going to make it?" Wait a minute, sir. I don't see you have a bucket. So how are you going to drink? Just like the disciple said, "Sir, I didn't see you eat. How are you full? How are you so happy when you don't have that many friends? How are you making it when you don't have a job right now in the COVID-19? How are you how are you still dancing when you just lost your closest friend?" Wait a minute. How are you? See, people are looking for wells and they're looking for buckets as evidence. But God said there's something deeper on the inside. And he says, "And this well is very deep. So where do you find this living water?" Do you really think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself, along with his children? See, that sounds like some of our family members. You think you holier than now, huh? You think you all that. I know who you really are. They don't know who you is at the church. You walk around singing all them songs like you better than me. Ain't nobody even said all that. I'm just happy. Jesus answered, if you drink from Jacob's well, guess what? You'll be thirsty again and again. If you find your joy in a noun, you're going to be thirsty again and again. See, I can't start my week without today. You'll be thirsty again and again and again and again and again. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never thirst again and will be forever satisfied. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit springing up and flooding you with what? Endless life. Endless life. Every season, people walk out on you. People disappoint you. Guess what? What's on the inside rises up. When there's tough times, what's held us through this pandemic is because the living water on the inside, it rose up. When we're weak, he's strong. So the Lord looked at the pandemic and was like, ooh, it's time to show up and show out. Who's ready? Who's ready? And he's looking for the who's ready. Oh, this has been a fruitful time. And guess what? God's not finished in 2020. Folks ain't putting out albums during a pandemic. Folks ain't doing multiple services in a pandemic. We waiting on the government. But they said we could do it, so let's do it. Let's drop our nets. It's harvest time. The woman replied, let me drink the water. Give me some. You making that sound good. You see, Jesus evangelizing. When you witness, do you make it sound good, the church you go to? Do you make it sound good, the joy of the Lord? Do you make it sound good? Do you make your salvation sound good? Or is it dry? Chair stopper. I'm going to start calling you chair stopper. No, I'm just playing. Ain't no chair stoppers in here. Let me drink that water so I'll never be thirsty again and won't have to come back here. Why did I make it pink? Because I made it pink. It's just a little reminder. The day I chose to drink the living water, I've never been back to the place I first drank the water. I have let so much. June 2007, I've never been back. This that never going back water. You never have to go back to what you used to depend on. Right? Even how me and my wife navigate arguments. I don't even know if they arguments. We just raise our voice a little bit and we get more passionate. We just explain things a little bit more forceful. They're not arguments. And our facial expressions don't look happy. But we bounce back because we're like, we're never going back there again. Never going to disrespect you again like that. I'm never going to uncover you again. This living water is meant to make sure you never go back. Never going back. Say, I'm never going back. The Lord desires to quench your hunger and thirst once and for all, but you must come. You must come. Matthew 11 says, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? I don't know who you are. You're carrying something that's bigger than you. And what does he say? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, and easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. And some of y'all like, no, Jesus, you tripping. This has not been easy. He didn't say life was going to be easy. He said he would be easy. See, I find easy in him, not in life. And when I depend on him, what he's saying is my yoke is easy. I will partner with you. I will yoke up with you. And we will go through life together. He's your life spotter. Anybody ever work out? You know, a little bit. Try to work out. Anybody ever thought about working out? Everybody, can I get an amen? Right? That's a step. But when you bench pressing, you have a spotter sometime. And that spotter is not there to lift the weight for you. It's to, number one, guide you so you don't lose form. Number two, it is to help encourage you to push. Because sometimes your mind give out, but your trainer keep you pushing. And then they'll give you a little tap. And they'll give you a little tap. And sometimes you'll be like, you feel like they helping you. But it's a point of faith. It's a faith contact. It looks like they're helping you, but you're really the one pushing. And then your trainer be like, look, you did it. Or you be like, thanks, dog. And he be like, I ain't do nothing. See, the Holy Spirit helps you get through moments when you can't fight for yourself no more. And you look back and be like, thank you, Holy Spirit. Here. This is where you need to get rid of false humility. Somebody say, wow, that was amazing. That wasn't me. That was God. Wait a minute. That was you. Nah, I give him all the glory. Watch out. That's God right there. No, that's false humility. The Bible says we're co-laborers. That's false humility. No, that's all God. No, you're co-laboring. You have to know. You can't see yourself as an overcomer if you say that wasn't me. Wait a minute. No, this is me standing up here preaching the gospel. If you saw me back then, what if I was up here? This ain't me. Then I couldn't have a testimony. But the same one that was smoking dope every day is the same one up here, pure and sober, preaching the unadulterated gospel today. It is him in me, using me. That's hard to relate to, a person that's just now coming to Jesus and they want God to use them, but then you like, nah, that ain't me. Well, that's like, how that work? Amen. Where are we going to land? When Jesus is who we long for, our priorities, our perspectives, and pressures change. This is good. When you long for Jesus, thus you don't look at pressure the same. The same stuff that used to pressure you no longer has that power to pressure you no more. When Jesus is the one you long, your priorities change. Yeah. See, give God a try, and some of the things you're desperate for now, give God a try. I promise you won't even want those things no more. That's why it's hard to choose the spouse when you don't depend on the Lord, because once you really start getting in there for the Lord going to change you around, and you're going to look over next to you, and you'll be like, oh, my God, what was that? Because your mind changed, your desires change. See, a lot of us will get with somebody due to the season we're in. You see that, Sion? We get with somebody due to the needs we need in that season. And then once we learn how to walk on our own two feet and mature and depend on God, and we find out we don't need that person no more, what you'll find out is that person is now jealous. That person is now, wait a minute, you used to need me. Why you don't confide in me like that no more? Be careful. When Jesus is who we long for, our priorities and perspectives and pressures change. You ready? The Lord wants to lay down all, wants you to lay down all the affairs of your life so he can free you for all he prepared for your life. The Lord wants you to lay down all the affairs of your life so he can free you for all he's prepared for your life. And then we see verse 16. Jesus said, go get your blessing. Look at Jesus shifted from blessing her. See, he gave her living water. He's now, let me clean you though. When Jesus shows up, he's come to take all of that stuff that's been weighing you down. He cares about it all. He's not just here to give you gifts. He's here to strip you of all the things that will hold you from hold you back from experiencing true freedom. He said, now go get your husband. This conversation is super funny. He said, go get your husband. The narrative has shifted. Go get your husband and bring him back here. I love Jesus. He was gangster. He was so gangster. She said, I'm not married. But I'm not married. He said, true. 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 Jesus said, you're right. But this is the cold thing. He said, go get your husband. And then he did that to woo her on. He was like, uh-oh, what you talking about? I'm not married, God. He's like, I know. I'm just saying. For you've been married 5 times. And now you're living with a man who is not your husband. In other words, he said, you shacking. And he Kobe. You got it? Some of y'all get that pun later. First of all, you got to know what shacking is. Shacking is you're living unmarried. Right? So I said, she's shacking Shaquille O'Neal. You shacking and he Kobe. See, y'all make a pun suck sometimes. You feel me? That was the one. Oh, Lord, help me. Sometimes I know I'm an immigrant. I got to get used to, you know, some of the humor, and I realize some things that I know that y'all don't know, but whatever. Amen. Thank you for the grace. A man who is not your husband, you have told the truth. You've had 5 husbands. Now you're living with someone you ain't even married to. And some of us sleep around. Maybe not with a person. Maybe you sleep with your fear. Maybe you sleep with greed. Maybe you sleep with lust. Maybe you sleep with, what's the word I'm looking for? Vanity. What is it that you're sleeping with that is stealing your attention, that is stealing your ability to go deeper with the Lord? Some people you're with is feeding you junk food all week. So instead of being able to walk out your faith, you got to explain your faith all the time. Maybe some of you are codependent and you got to have this thing next to you or in your life in order to have value. But not tonight. The woman said, you must be a prophet, so tell me this. Why do our fathers, this is the last funny part, she switched the conversations quick. He was talking about her husband. She was like, why do our fathers worship God here? She switched the conversation real quick. I would have too. Stop trying to change the subject when Jesus is trying to change the narrative. The Lord's trying to change the narrative. And you're trying to change the subject. Can God just turn it all around? Give you a whole new narrative? Or you got to pray about it. Let me pray about it, God. No, some of you here tonight, you're in the place that you've been looking for. You ain't got to pray about it. You're one choice away from your entire narrative being changed. I'll end with this. 1 Kings 17, arise, speaking to the man of God. Go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Say, dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. This whole narrative is very powerful. God will provide. When you get a chance, read the whole chapter. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering what? Sticks. He called to her, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may what? Drink. As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, hey, hold on. I don't whistle too well. It just, you know, like the homies back, just, I don't know how to do that. But he whistled to her. As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your what? Hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have not a loaf baked, but only a handful of meal in the jar and a little oil in the bottle. A little, say a little. All he needs is what? A little. You put a little in God's hands, I promise you, you will never, ever regret it. All he needs is a little. He don't need what you lost. He just needs what is left. All he needs is a little. And sometimes you're asking, God is asking you to give more, and you're like, God, I don't got much more to give. He said, I've got you down to this little, because that's the part that now means something to you. It's easy to give when you got much. But the real gut check is when you have little. Look at this. See, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and bake it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And somebody came here tonight ready to throw the towel in. Ready to give up. At bare minimum, you thought about it. And the Lord says, no, this is just the beginning. Amen. Elijah said to her, fear not. Go and do as you have said, but make me a little cake of it. How dare you, man of God? I only got a little bit, and you're going to ask me for some. See, the man of God didn't really want cake. He wanted faith. It ain't about the cake. It ain't about the tithe. It ain't about your time. It ain't about your talent. It's about your faith. It's about your heart towards God. And the moment you make it about the cake, you're missing a monumental moment in your life. But make me a little cake of it first and bring it to me, and afterward prepare some for yourself. He said, give me some first, then prepare some for yourself. If you have ears to hear, there must be plans to multiply. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not waste away, or the bottle of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She did as Elijah said. She what? Did as Elijah said. Because somewhere deep in her, as much as she was planning to die, I believe she really wanted to live. And as much as you're ready to give up, as much as you're ready to throw in the towel, I believe there is something inside of you that's saying, this cannot be all that God has for me. Yeah. The jar of meal was not spent, nor did the bottle of oil fail. Listen, according to the word which the Lord spoke through, she had a little bit, and then she had enough to give to her family and share. You may be on your last, but my God's storehouse never runs dry. Now, this is why it's very important to trust God, even with your little bit. Because God sees, you're thinking about what you need your seed for today, and God is seeing what you're gonna need a harvest for later. After these things, see, God will, she gave a little bit of cornmeal. God multiplied that and then some. See, when you sow time, talent, and treasure, God, the harvest is way more than what you sowed. Listen, listen, after these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house became what? Sick. She didn't know her son was going to become sick, but the Lord knew. And his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him, dead. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? Have you come to me to call my son, to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" He said to her, "Give me your son." He's asking for something else that is dear to her. "Give me your son." And he took him from her bosom and carried him up into the chamber where he stayed and laid him up on his own bed. And Elijah cried to the Lord. You see this craving. You see what Elijah is desiring. He's desiring for revival. He's desiring for restoration and refreshing. He's desiring that men come back to life. He's desiring for resurrection. Amen. He says, he carried him up to the chamber where he stayed and laid him on him. "Oh Lord, have you brought further calamity upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, my God, I pray you let this child's soul come back into him." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he what? Revived. The Lord is asking you tonight, can I lay on your situation? Will you trust me with your situation? He clearly got instructions because he did something weird. He laid on them three times. God's been talking to you. Are you willing to respond? Are you willing to move? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to shift? Are you willing to give him your situation and make some decisions? Some decisions of faith that will reveal your thirst and hunger. This has been a crazy year, rough year. Absolutely. But I believe what it's meant for the world, it doesn't mean the same thing for the church. Man, we're seeing people leave one religion that had them bound, coming into Christianity. It's harvest time. God has people's hearts right where he wants them. Now all we need is laborers that are willing to be equipped, willing to be mobilized, willing to sit under the word, willing to worship, willing to be rooted. And my prayer and cry for you tonight is whatever you're going through, you surrender it to the Lord. And stop trying to do everything in your own might. You were not created for all of that. Just lift your hands right where you are, if you don't mind. No pressure. Lord, we lay it down at your feet. We lay it down at your feet, Lord.
Thanks for joining us. Stay connected with us by following us on social media at LoveQuestINTL Church. And join us next time as we receive another powerful Right Now word brought to us by our man of God, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy the rest of your day, and in the meantime, get your love fixed, man.